Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend, John Stout. Remember, the number to call is 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, what's on my mind today? I want to go back a couple of days ago when Minister Dwight Sutherland made some comments and came under fire on social media. I believe not so much his comments, but maybe perhaps where he made those comments. But before I get into that, because I want to sort of tie in the two about equality and equity and to understand the difference. And is it that we want equality or is it that we're fighting for equity? Now, I believe equality is definitely the end result of what we all want. But equity is the means in which to get there. So I tied in those two words into what I wanted to say about the remarks and the responses by the public when Minister Sutherland made those comments. Now, first of all, personally, as a communication specialist, I understand the whole theory of optics and what things would look like. But I also know how to try to take away from that and look at the truth and listen to the message as opposed to what the backdrop looked like. But I know he came under fire for that. And to the average person, it appeared to not fit very well as a minister. Truth be told, Minister Sutherland, in my humble opinion, over the last 2 years, has represented, I believe, small businesses as best as he could and continues to do so. And we've seen the start of the fund for persons who are retrenched to start businesses, etc. So it's kind of funny to hear when you are with persons who are not well off and are struggling and then you get the kudos. But from the moment you stand with someone who may not, may be different off, maybe different financially, then you get this slack pushback of what this looks like and all of the other things that I care not to mention. However, the truth of the matter is that we do have a problem as far as this situation is concerned with duties and the cost of cars and consumers and what we have to pay. So we look at all of the ads on TV and we go like, wow, that sells for that amount of money. So why do I have to pay $75,000 for it here? Why are the parts so expensive? So did a little bit of research and got some information here about the duties, first of all, for the car dealers. And in terms of what they pay, and I have an example here of a vehicle under 1,600 cc's, valued at under $55,000, I should say. So let's just say the vehicle costs, which I have here, $18,797.33 US. And converted 2 to 1, that's $37,594.66. We have the import duty, of course, and we have the CIF and the duties, which is about $16,917 of import duties of 45% of Barbados CIF. And then we have other duties of the excise tax. We've got those two duties then combined, import duty and excise tax of $34,334.26. Forgive me if I skipped a few, but we're getting down now to a total of the landed costs of the CIF Barbados plus total import duties plus total tax. Now, note I said we started off at the price of paying $18,797.33 U.S. Converted into Barbados is $37,594.66. all of the duties then placed on and the foreign exchange fee, etc., brings the total cost of that vehicle that we started off at $72,000, this is Barbados, $72,680.81. The dealer margin now is 10%, which is now $8,074.83. And the sale price of that vehicle pre-VAT, not where we started off, is $80,755.24. Which now brings the total selling price when you add the 87.55.64 to the VAT, brings that vehicle to $94,887.88. Now, I'm not good at maths, but I mean, doing that, we can recognize that the duties are quite heavy. So when you have car dealerships that have staff to pay and service they give you and warranties, etc., and then to have what you call a small margin, they really don't make a lot of money. However, then you have on the other side of the coin, people who are not so big in the game, but they can bring in cars now at a cheaper price. However, I think the question and what Minister probably was trying to say, and I can't assume for him, so I'm just extracting out of what I heard when he used the word as a level playing field. I think he was suggesting that we should make sure that we all comply with the relevant duties. And that could only happen when an invoice is presented to customs with the true reflection of what the car, what you paid for the vehicle, and nothing else. So if you have an error, if I would like to call it that, of and you have two invoices, and these two invoices don't exactly identify with each other having the same totals, one invoice may say A, and you've lost invoice A, and you presented invoice B, and invoice B does not reflect what invoice A actually said, what you actually paid, then you are only going to attract the duty of that. That in itself is a big error. If it is intentionally done, then it's called by another name. But if it was an error, then it needs to be corrected. So I think we have to be mindful about when we asking for equality versus, you know, equity, what's fair, and so that we can all be equal. I don't think we will all ever be equal because we aren't really as human beings. We are equal in terms of we should not be discriminated against because of the color of our skin. And we are human beings. We're all going to die. We have all of those things in common. Where we differ now, maybe in our attitudes, our skills, that's where the difference will come. And then that's where equity may come into play. Whereas, for a quick example, if you have 100 children at school and you printed 100 books and four of those children are blind, and you said, well, look, you know what? I gave everybody a book. I treated everybody the same. Yeah, you might have treated the kids the same, but you have four children in that class that are blind that requires Braille. So you then have to create the playing field to be fair, but you have to make exceptions in order for that to be fair. But that's another discussion. But I was trying to tie in the whole aspect of what Minister said about a level playing field and the pushback that he got. I strongly feel that I don't think it should matter, even though I understand optics, trust me, I do, and what it looked like. But the truth of the fact is, if people are not complying, if you break the law, then something has to be done. And I think that is really where everybody was coming from in that regard. And I'm hoping to get your feedback, to get your opinion and your thoughts on what transpired and what's the way forward. How do we rectify this anomaly? And not so much on the minister where he was, but then it's up to you to weigh in on that. I certainly don't want to tell you what to say and what opinions to have. So we look forward to hearing from you and your thoughts on the car dealerships, etc. And in addition to that, also want to touch on the Barbados Water Authority and the news this morning. And I do have a WhatsApp message that came into me last night at 8 o'clock. And I will read it and then we'll take the calls. Say good night. We have an issue in Deacon's Farm behind Block 1 Madison Terrace where there is a burst main behind the block. This is 24 hours now and water is flowing and wasting and has now started to go in and may soon flood the backyards of a resident. Now note this was 8 o'clock, 11 minutes past 8 last night. The crew came today, the person went on to say, but it is reported they arrived around 10 a.m. and left around 3 p.m. The issue the residents have is that they spent most of the time in a house of a work colleague socializing rather than on the job. And the issue still remains. I know you may still have a couple of contacts at the BWA. This is why they were messaging me. Can you please raise this on behalf of the residents? And I did say, could you kindly message me to let me know if it was repaired? And if it wasn't, I will then raise the matter on brass tacks. So hopefully, Water Authority, if you're listening, that problem needs to be rectified. It's now 10:13, down to brass tacks. You are on the air.
Good morning, Mrs. Joy Haynes.
Good morning.
Right. I have a question to you. I wanted to put it to the manager of the Water Authority.
Oh.
Now, I paid my water bill here on the 22nd of June at St. Philip Post Office at the time at 8:55 a.m. The name is Jordan Scott and Anderson Scott. I now receive two bills here marked due for disconnection. Why I got to get a pay? Two of us people here are pensioners.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pay the bills as we get our pension. As soon as we get the pension and we cash the pension, we pay both the water bill, the telephone bill, and the light bill. Why that we have two bills here mm-hmm. stating due for connection?
Disconnection.
All two bills was paid at the Barbados Post Office in St. Philip on the 22nd of June 2020. One bill, the receipt, $81.27 for Geraldine Scott, and the other bill for Anderson Scott, the same amount of money was paid at the same time, $81.27 at the St. Philip Post Office at 8:53 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Now, behold, we have two bills here marked due for disconnection.
All right.
Is it possible that the general manager of the Barbados Water Authority, does he check who pay from who ain't pay?
All right. Let me see if I can help and lower your blood pressure a little bit on this one.
Of course, because I tell you this, my dear.
Uh-huh.
Right now, as soon as I receive this bill and I see red stamp mark due for disconnection, it shook my blood pressure up. And I cannot, you know, entertain this. I had to put it on the radio.
All right. First of all, what day you said you paid it? What date?
The 22nd of June.
And you received the bill
which was last month. The 22nd of June.
And you received a bill how shortly after that?
I now received the bill this morning
mm-hmm.
for both bills due for disconnection.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me just say what could have possibly happened. Sometimes you pay a bill before the, just after something is generated. So, for example, if they printed the bills on the 21st and you paid on the 22nd, the bill would have already been printed. And then, of course, it goes to the post office, et cetera, and makes its way down to you. What Water Authority should do, and I don't know if they still have it, they normally should tell you, and I think they do, kindly disregard this notice if you have paid it. Then you would know that you've paid it. Make sure you have your receipt, because sometimes when you pay at other agencies, sometimes the wrong account number could also go in. And if you don't have that proof, then, you know, you can have a problem. So keep the bill. You can make a call to the Water Authority customer service and just let them know you've paid the bill. Quote them the receipt number and just let them know. If it was an error, They will then correct it in case it went to the wrong account and something came out to reflect a disconnection. But I would strongly suggest that you call them this morning, because this is July now, and you certainly don't want that if an error was made, and it may not have been on the Water Authority site. It might have been an error when the person was keying in the account number. But I believe, though, in this case, it could be wrong, but I believe that sometimes the bills are generated just after you would have paid something, and the system obviously would not have known, and the bills would have gone off already with that on it. All right? And it's computer generated too, so the computer picks up when it's a little late, but it doesn't mean that you didn't pay. So okay, don't panic. Call
no,
them.
I ain't panicking, Mr. Hill, but what I'm saying to you, ma'am, as soon as I receive these two bills this morning, another thing, I keep calling the Water Authority just as soon as I receive the bill. And they have an answering machine. Your number is number 16. Your number is this. Ooh. Your number. Look, I wanted to know. I just keep saying to Barbadians, they are the most happiest people in the world. I spent 16 years in United Kingdom, and these things don't add up. These things that we down here getting are doing to me, one another, don't add up there. And there are more West Indians, Barbadians, St. Lucian, Trinidadian, Jamaicans, you name it, in United Kingdom. Those people up there don't joke like how we have a lot of jokers sitting down here, quacking and making laughs and sport. No way. This bill will be corrected. I called the telephone about 16 times this morning, and I get an answering machine. You are number 12, you are number 16, you are number 22, you are number this, and wait for another call. Do this, do that. There's so much.
It's not user friendly.
Huh?
No, the phone is not user friendly. In other words,
no.
Yeah.
And then again, if you got clerks or clerical officers and they're sitting down behind computers and telephone, what is the sense of having human beings soon for now, as somebody said on draft stats already, that you're going got to have robots to answer and do the work? And that's what Barbadians are afraid to get on the nerve. Because if you're going to tell me you got clerks in there, they have telephone operator, they have telephone, to answer the telephone, why you got to be on the answering machine for 22 and a half minutes? Why you have to only resort back to call Brastat and get this message to the Barbados World Authority? It don't make any sense.
Well, I'm sure they're listening to you. And,
well, I would like them to understand that I get left a message to get tell them, give me a call at my house number.
But tell you what, if they call you before 2 o'clock, you call us back and let us know that you got through, okay? Because it'd be interesting to know whether or not they responded after everybody in Barbados who's listening now would have heard you. And let's see if the BWA will respond in a timely fashion. I believe that they will. So you could always let us know if you feel free to let us know. If not this show, maybe another show. All right. Thank you so much. Let me clarify something here before we go on to the callers with some one or two WhatsApp messages, because one person thought I was insinuating that people were committing acts of crime, and I did not say that. I said if errors occurred, and if it wasn't an error and you know what occurred, what happened, then of course, and I never even said what it was. So at the end of the day, those persons who are complaining, they know who they are, and those persons who may not be complying, they also too know who they are. But this particular one here, I want to address. Good morning, Ms. Haig. Let me start by saying I don't think that you should be here this morning trying to explain what Minister Sutherland meant. The same way the minister came out boldly and made his speech, he should address his comments himself. Not that there's anything he can come out and say at this moment to sugarcoat the situation, and neither should you be trying to sugarcoat it. I am not a car dealer, but hearing his comments, I found it to be very disturbing and disrespectful to the small business sector. He sounded more like a spokesperson for the car company in question. And secondly, leveling the playing field should be to bring policies to the people that balances all players, not bring another tax to the small dealers at 65%, while the big players pay less because of extra features, etc. Let the car company step up the game and bring fully loaded vehicles rather than the basic that they have been bringing for years. Anyway, I read all that and I'm not going to continue to read it because I am in no way sugarcoating anything. The same way people have their views, I express my views. Whether you express your views on social media or here on Brass Tacks, and there are people who are against, there are people who are for. I'm neither for or against. I am mainly stating what my interpretation of what I heard meant to me, in the same way when minister stood in a somebody else's showroom, what that meant to you. We are all entitled to our opinions. So to the individual who felt that, you know, I'm adding a little sugar to it, I'm sorry that you feel that way. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 1026. You are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jayan, how are you?
I am doing okay, thanks. What about you?
Well, good in the meantime. Let me first give you your gratitude, Miss Jayan. I found that you were one of the great icons at Waterworks. I found that for the time you were there, you were highly respectable, everyone liked you, and you were doing an outstanding job. You were there when people want you. You were there when people need you. And that is what counts. That is what counts. All right, let me move on to 2 points quick.
Thank you.
Ms. Joyanne, why is that? I don't want to mash nobody cards. Why is that? You will have someone at a certain entity. They're very reproductive. They're very energetic. They're doing a fantastic job. Fantastic job. They're pleasing the nation. Everyone loves them. And when a different administration comes in, you know, that person has to go. Now, I prefer say it the other way around, Miss Joyanne. Mm-hmm. If an administration comes in, another administration comes in, because we got to stop this foolishness. You got to look at the merit of what the person is doing. You got to look at the job skills the person put. Let me look at job skills. Let me look at how good the person was at their job. You know, rather than getting political, because my party come in, and if my party gonna remove a person that was there doing a good job, it doesn't mean that the person that I am going to put in place of them are going to do half as good as the job. So I'm saying, what I'm trying to get across is that I would like see all parties put this that in. As long as you check that person's portfolio and all the files they're stating that person didn't is doing a wonderful job, and they're pleasing the nation, leave that person alone. Leave them alone. It is a handful of foolishness. And both parties in Barbados is responsible for a lot of that. They need to stop it. Okay, my next point. Mm-hmm. My next point. Leah. Mm-hmm. Ms. Joyanne. Would it... You have Leah, you know, feeling. I was asking myself, due to the fact that Barbados has the majority of shares in Leah, why is that we can't get two or three, I'm not going to call any names, two or three prominent high-class businessmen, to come on board. And, you know, even if these two or three businessmen have to say, well, listen, look, we will come aboard, but lots of things has to be changed. You know, why is that we can't get two or three businessmen come aboard and save Leah and save the yacht, keep it afloat.
You mean keep it in government's hands or not to privatize it? Because I believe that...
It doesn't matter.
Well, then there are some discussions from what I understand that the Prime Minister said, and I only heard it in passing, so someone please forgive me if I misquoted the PM, but I think there's some interest there from the private sector in the airline, and that can continue to run the airline, but just privately. So I believe that discussion... is happening. Whether it comes to fruition, that's another story. But I believe that discussion is happening.
But Joanne, if you look at Mr. Brown, Prime Minister Antigua, former Prime Minister Antigua, there was something about him that I didn't like. I gather from him that he wanted the main office to stay in Antigua. He wanted it to stay in Antigua. But I was asking myself, For a business to be successful, does it have to stay in your country? No. I'm not biased. But I think that because it's failing, it collapsed in 1974. And now it's on the verge again of collapsing again. Right? So I think that, not being biased, I think that it should move to Barbados.
And what would be your reason for that?
My reason for that, okay, if you fishing, if you listen to me carefully, Justin, you heard I said it collapsed in 1974, and now it's on the verge of collapsing again. Mm-hmm. If a fisherman, when you go fishing, if you throw your net on the left and you ain't getting the bites there, he's do, throw it on the right. You can throw your net on the right, right?
But why not any other Caribbean? Do you think that we're probably the best equipped to deal with it?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I am biased. I am biased, but he was thinking too much about, and he attacked it in a smart way. He don't want to bring the animosity. He don't want people to feel that that he's trying to keep it there. And so, but the evidence is there. He wanted it there. The evidence is clear. He wanted the act to be born in Antigua.
Every prime minister maybe would advocate for having something in their own country.
But Joanne, it was operating at a bad loss. It's operating at a bad loss. Do you really understand? That was $100 million. EC dollars, $100 million. If it were operating properly and efficiently, there's no way that Liat would own a hand overhead of over $100 million.
But so you blame Antigua for that?
Somebody's to blame. Somebody's to blame. That's why I said to you, if you listen to me earlier, you heard I said, why can't three or four prominent businessmen in Barbados move in due to the fact that we got the more shares in it? Even if they have to say, well, listen, look, there got to be changes of different stipulations. And I know those stipulations. I know some of those stipulations. I know what one or two of those stipulations would be. Mm-hmm. Proper timing, not giving people late changes in calls. All this type of foolishness was going on while Liat was operating in Antigua, and we can't get away from that.
Understood. I want to thank you so much for your contribution, and we'll take the next call down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
I first want to agree somewhat with the email you read before the last caller. You're going to find yourself in a batting on a sticky wicket. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, sorry. Who's going to find themselves batting on a sticky wicket?
I said you're going to find yourself batting on a sticky wicket.
Okay. And how so?
I'm going to explain it to you.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. You're in the parish of St. Philip. Let's say you had a business in St. Philip. Say you were importing. Let's say you were importing cosmetics, and they only had five other individuals or small businesses in the area importing cosmetics as well. And between 2017 to present, another five individuals entered the market. Would you expect your market share to be the same and your sales?
Okay. First of all, there's something called...
Very simple.
No, I laugh because, you know, one of the things that I think people are scared of in a small country is something called competition. And competition is healthy. So whether or not they have a million cosmetic stores, I, Joanne Hagness, and you put it to me, would want to do the best I can, market the best I can, and probably force other people to close. For me, that is right up my alley. So you're kind of asking your own buddy, because the more people that come, into, let me explain something. In business, you can't expect to have everything for yourself, okay? You open up the market, people are free to, the only way you have something like that is maybe in a mall, where the mall may say, well, we'll only have two shoe stores and we'll have two cosmetics, because they want to have a variety and they don't want to have one of the same thing. But when it comes to opening up a business and 500 people want to do what I do, then I welcome the 500 people, because I will then see what they're doing and then see what my model is and then try to market my product so that I can come out on top. It's called competition. It's very healthy.
Okay. Now, you still really didn't answer the question, but...
No, I answered the question. How would I, and I welcome it. In other words, you don't...
That wasn't the question.
I'm sorry, well then, what was the question that I didn't answer then?
The question was, would you still expect the same market share, the same profit?
Sir, but then you didn't understand my answer. What I'm trying to tell you, that if there are 100 of them out there, I would fight to get my share and even more than what I was making. If there was only five, it means I have to up my game. And so it is not what, I may not get the same, sir, I may not get the same piece of the pipe, and I'm going to fight hard to get what I had before and even a bigger piece of the pipe. But it comes with hard work. It comes with good marketing. It's called competition. So that's why I was saying to you, I answered the question. What I expect is to be successful. And that's what business people should be thinking. I want to be successful. I don't mind if there are 500 of you out there. I'm going out there and I'm going to make my product the best. I'm going to market it in the best way. I may even drop my prices. You never know. It all depends. So yes, I would hope that I can get the same. It may not be in the beginning because you're going to struggle, but you fight hard to get on top. And that's the name of the game.
Okay, well, I think that message should be heard by the company. Maybe you need to assist that company in their marketing strategy, because if in 2017 their sales were 3,100, and three years later their sales only dropped by 15%, because they still sold 2,654. It was a shortfall of 446 vehicles sold. But
in what year?
If they take into account that between 2017 and now, I drive in around Barbados. Every time I look around, there's a new car dealership opening up around here, around there. I mean, there are numerous car dealerships that have sprung up. And how could you expect the same market share? I don't know how they could answer that. But rather than trying to be competitive, okay, they are trying to use other means through the minister to, as they call it, level the plane.
Can I ask you a question? I understand your view, but let's look at it from a different way. What if I said to you that the car dealers are following the rules? They have been hit with some massive duties that they have to pay the government, which by extension is taxes and so on and so forth that pays the hospital and teachers, etc. So they have to pay that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone, no, not as big as them, they want to get into the game. They want to sell cars. Do you think it is right for them to practice something totally different in terms of what is compliant, follow the rules? One is following the rules and one may not be following the rules. And the mere fact that one may not be following the rules has led them to operate in a way that they can have more of the pie. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it that the car companies, is it that the dealers, this is the question I'm asking. I don't know the answer. I want your opinion and everybody else's. Is it that the dealers want to knock out and get rid of the small man? Or is it that the dealers are saying, look, we pay X for these cars. We are paying the government. We're doing everything that we've been asked to do. And we're doing it above board and being very transparent. We just want the same thing from others who come into the market to have the same, to display the same level of compliance when it comes to bringing in vehicles. Is that so hard? You talk about equality. Is it okay? Is it okay then to do it one way? And when it benefits you as a small man, oh yeah, yeah, it's great. But when it twists now, it, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you want to joke out my eye. Now, there are times where the bigger companies are definitely joking out someone's eye with prices. Barbadians don't have to buy them. We know that. And maybe that's another discussion that we can twist their arm with prices by not buying. All I'm saying, I think the argument is, from the dealer's perspective, is if other people are coming into this game, should it not be, shouldn't we all comply with what the taxes are so that every invoice that we bring reflects the actual payment of the vehicles? I think that is where, and maybe it's not being said and is hidden in all the translation, but that's what it is.
Well, this is how I see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the new car dealers are complaining that there is this loophole that the used car dealers are taking advantage of, okay, and bringing in vehicles at a lower price, let's put it that way, the onus is on the authorities, yes, to fill that loophole. Okay? I would totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right. So you are on the same, you want the same, you want to be fair, then let's be fair. Let's not even talk about equality. Let's talk about fairness.
That isn't the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That isn't the problem. The problem is the used car dealers are bringing in the same type of vehicle, but fully accessorized. Okay? And they're able to sell that vehicle cheaper than the vehicle they're bringing in. That's the problem in a nutshell. That is the problem.
Why?
Well, you would have...
I'm saying that if that is the case, why are you able to sell a vehicle? Now, note, the rules are there apparently for everybody. The taxes are the taxes and so on and so forth, but it's based on an invoice. Now, if it was based on the value, then it didn't matter whatever invoice you produce, then people should be there to value the vehicle, and that could happen.
But it's based on the value.
Right? No, it's based on what you paid for it. If it was based on the value, like they used to do years ago, then maybe that things may be different. Having the Asakuta world now set up in the way it is, I believe will help address some of these problems, because once you buy a vehicle, the exporters then, all the information as to what you pay would be in that system. So even if you pay A and display B, it's easy to track what kind of monies went out of the country for A. So invoice B would have to reflect invoice A, if you want to put it that way. It can't be different. So in cases where it may be different and errors might have occurred that contributed to it not being the same, then this is where the system can pick up those anomalies and straighten out that problem. But we'll be back after the break. I want to thank you so much for your contribution.
Sun Power, our water system.
A Sun Power hot water systems panel has 25% larger inner diameter tubing and 20% thicker fins than other hot water systems. The smaller tubing of the other products will cause faster line blockage and less product life. A Sun Power hot water system lasts longer than the others and saves you more on maintenance costs. Call one of our sales reps at 428-0634 and get your Sun Power today.
Get your Sun Power.
The Barbados Licensing Authority advises the public that learner drivers will be expected to attend for their driving tests on the testing date that they have been given. Anyone who was assigned a driving test date during the national shutdown is required to obtain a new testing date by calling 536-0268, 536-0269, or 536-0271 with their national registration number and the old test date. Learner drivers and driving instructors are required to wear face masks and sanitize their hands. The Barbados Licensing Authority thanks the public for its cooperation in this initiative to best serve the learner driver population and to promote safety at this time. A message from the Ministry of Transport, Works and Maintenance and the Barbados Government Information Service.
Boy, I really wish I could stretch my dollars.
Girl, you can, yeah, and it could go a long way too.
Oh, tell me more.
Starcom Network can stretch your dollar.
Ah, boy, I can't wait.
Wait for it. Call with Starcom, somebody dollar's gonna get stretched.
Okay, one WhatsApper is here saying, and I like these kind of WhatsApps and I don't like to hide from them. Hi, Joanne. You continue to insinuate the smaller dealers are not declaring correct invoice value. The minister indicated the used car dealers were declaring the pickups under a tariff heading, which attracted lower duties. There are multiple tariff headings for that class of vehicle. Sir, I didn't insinuate anything. I said if errors occur, then they need to be corrected. If people want equality, then we have to understand what that may entail. Now, is it equality we want or is it equity we want? Which means, are we going to give everybody the same thing and treat it the same way? Or are we going to do it in a fair way where then what is applicable for John may not be the same way I have to do it for Joy-Ann, but my end result is to make sure that Joy-Ann and John are now equal, but my journey there doesn't start with equality. My journey there has to first find out what John is doing, how much of an advantage he has. And if Joy-Ann wants the same thing, and Joy-Ann, I don't know, for example, Joy-Ann is a female and she's short and she can't reach the fence. Is it that Joy-Ann would need something to get to the same height as John? So yes, John may be 6 feet tall and he could see over the fence. But I want to see over the fence too. You put me right next to John, you're telling me, look, y'all are equal. I got to y'all right in front of the fence. You can't complain, Joy. I got y'all right in front of the fence. But John can see the action. Joy-Ann can't see. So Joy-Ann now wants to be able to see, to be equal to John. I got to get up to John's height. So I can ask you from an old biscuit tin or box. So you give that to me. So we are now equal. If you understand what I'm saying, maybe you may not. But that is really where we're arguing here, equality versus equity. What has to be done in order to make the playing field, quote unquote, equal, if that's what you want to call it. But we, you know, so it, is it we're fighting for equality? Is it we're fighting for equity? It's interesting to hear your responses, but please don't narrow it down to insinuating this or that. The problem is that there are problems. They need to be identified. Some of them have been identified as errors in invoicing. Some have been identified as possible tariffs and how we charge for this and that. And the other thing, too, I want to touch on before I take a call is this thing called a disassembled car. Now, we've seen accidents on the road, and we've seen some cars destroyed and some splattered all over the place and some not so bad. And I asked myself, after I found out that we do assemble these cars here, where is the inspection going on for these cars, and what type of glue, Gorilla Glue? In other words, who is inspecting a car that comes in this country in parts and sold to you? Who's inspecting the safety requirements that they do when they come off the shipment, the line in Japan and all these different places? Is that something that we want to accept? Buying cars that have been assembled. Now, don't get me wrong. There was a company here that used to assemble buses, but I believe that they had their quality inspections done and because they had to pass inspection. And please don't message or call to tell me, oh, inspection's in an MTW, because I don't think that they can tell you whether or not that was flour and water that stuck that together, or Gorilla Glue or Yoohoo Glue or whatever. The point is, somebody who's qualified, who knows what to look for when you assemble a car, if that is the route we're going, it might be a good route to go, but do we have the right people in place to inspect these vehicles before they're sold, if they're going to be assembled here after you purchase them in parts over a period of time? This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Joanne is speaking, and on the air, I can hear you.
Hello.
I can hear your radio. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You want me to turn on the radio?
No, I think it's all right now. We heard it in the beginning.
Oh, this is a lady that called you something last year who decided to have the alkalacia, where he was ready for operation.
Yes, ma'am.
Up to this day.
No, ma'am, operation. Don't tell me that.
He's suffering so bad that we even did hear from the lady that do the complaints and things. She did call that over the area of the complaint section, Sandra Beckles Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
She set up an appointment for me to see the doctor that's supposed to do the operation. We went and see him, and he said there ain't nothing that he could do because they don't have the equipment, so it still ain't making a difference whether we come to see him or not, because still don't have the equipment to do the operation. Up to this day, my son's suffering. Sometimes he go work, sometimes he can't go because he's feeling weak, because it's affecting the anemia too. And he have a lot of back pain, foot pain, weakness in his foot. Right now today, he tried to go work from Monday, tried to go work. Last week, he went to work 2 days. So he went back to work from last Thursday because he had 2 weeks home. So he got to be home from work all the time due to the suffering and things. Got to be jumping up to get food, go down. Got to bring back up the food, and if he's sick. It's so distressing. I just don't know what to do. I was even thinking of going to the nation and see if he could get some help. But I said, we'll try calling back the radio station again and see. This sign could be done. And I hear someone calling and say that how they're doing the operation.
First of all, let me say how sorry I am to hear that. This is July.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the month, but I know it was last year we spoke.
Yeah, it was something last year.
And it pains me to hear that you are still in the same situation with your son.
I feel so sick and depressed and stressed out.
What I can try to do, and I maybe we did this route before, but we're going to have to do it a little different. In my opinion, if you try one way, it don't work. You got to try the next way. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to message. I'm going to let you give John your number. While I'm speaking, I'm going to message the QEH and get that information, and I'm going to get someone to call you today from the QEH before the end of the show. I give you my word. All right, but you need to stay on the line. Mm-hmm. You need to give your name and telephone number to John, the producer, and we'll get it done. We'll get the communication going between the two, and to see what can happen for your son in short order. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning, 10:55, Brass Tacks. Hi, go ahead. Good morning.
Yeah, I have two issues to raise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that some people who have to get an operation got to wait so long? An individual was supposed to get an operation and nothing was happening. So the best thing that individual could have done is try to see if they can raise some funds and go to a private person to get the operation done. So says so done. They managed to get the money to get the operation, and now they can see. Right? Mm-hmm. It is ridiculous. You understand? You got to be scrambling to get money to get this eye operation so you won't go blind. And you waiting all the time. It's horrible. Anyhow, my main reason for calling is that in relation to Leah, what could have gone wrong that would put Leah in a situation where they would probably go into liquidation? What would happen to the employees? How would they be paid severance? What the union would be doing for them? When they go into liquidation, first thing, the debentures got to be paid first. Then the preferential shareholders. What's going to happen to the ordinary shareholders? And I believe that who would take over the bad debt if a company has to take it over, right? And when they have the name change, et cetera, because they would normally have a name change, who's going to make provisions for the provisions for bad debts and stuff like that if a company has to take it over? Right? Good. And if they have to change the company, right? If they have to change the company, have a new name for the company, you understand? They can use like the same directors, because I think it's something to do with the marketing strategy or management. Something got to be going wrong, because you want to tell me that the financial controller can't realize that the company is breaking even and breaking even too regularly. This is where they should put a stopgap there and find out what is wrong. They should at least reduce the fares and check their itinerary and work from there. They should not let it go like that. I don't know what is wrong with some Caribbean businesses. It's just like our bank. Our bank was there. And next thing, somebody take it over, and then they're making a good profit. So something got to be wrong with the marketing strategy or the management of the company. Do you agree with me or not?
Well, I'll say this. I guess it will follow the same process that all companies follow when they fold up, in terms of shareholders and new staff and so on. It is regrettable, but Leah has been ailing for years. Prices were, you know, they were too high. Sometimes in life, you got to look at the price of something, you know, and instead of a trip to, say, Trinidad, it was even more than to Miami. And a lot of people weren't traveling and they couldn't afford it. Bad management contributes to that. Delays with Leah, which would mean maintenance, and maybe they fell down financially with that. It's a lot of factors. It's sad after all this time, and the fight for Leah continues in 2020, and now people came to the conclusion, look, give it up and let somebody else handle it. Maybe governments maybe the lesson in this is government probably should not be in the airline business and leave it to the private sector. Maybe that's the lesson in all of this. Because whatever we did, whatever happened, who was sitting in the chair, who wasn't, who's been appointed here, It didn't change. It never changed. It kept going down and down and down. And this is where we're at now, regrettably. But sometimes it's not a bad thing. Maybe someone will take it over. Flying now could be more affordable. And we'll see where it goes. When one door closes and something ends, something else begins. So sometimes we can't always hold on to everything. You've got to let it go and let something new come.
Yeah, because they got to look at the companies and make sure that when they're choosing the directors, they choose the right directors and try not to have no inside trading and that type of thing, because inside trading can cause the company to collapse, because people could say what they're supposed to say and bang, 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 there goes the business, right? So bad debt is something that everybody do not want to take over, right? They prefer the business to go into liquidation and start afresh. You understand? And some of these same right directors, right, will come out of that particular company and then go and when they open a new business, go into this new company with the same bad habits. So I believe that the companies actually be look at those persons from the old year and who's going into this new company, because they got plans there. So somebody can go take over the plans, buy over the fleet of plans. So you can take over some of them old directors with their old habits. You get where you're coming from.
Well, you know, if you keep doing the same thing all the time and you expect a different result, it is the definition of insanity. So I want to thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 11 o'clock. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Good morning, and how are you?
I am good. What about you?
I am fine, thank you.
I am just calling to say a thank you to some few people. I had an accident on Monday. I was going to work. I'm on my way to work. I had an accident, and I was surprised that this was on Bennett's Road, you know, the road that when you come off, the road that turns to Sandy Lane.
Yes.
When you go into Sandy Lane Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, just there. Just as I turn into the road.
This is recently, you said?
Pardon?
Recently?
Yeah, just on Monday.
Monday? Okay. Sorry, yes, I didn't hear that.
Monday that gone, and the car was just doing its own thing on the road, and just eventually just went to hit a limestone just around the bridge at the golf course, if you know Sandy Lane Golf Course, the Blue Monkey. And I was surprised at how people are there. We have a lot of kind people and nice people in here. And within a short time, because I was boxing the car, couldn't come out, within a short time, the amount of people, the first gentleman, an elderly gentleman who came to my aid and started talking to me and kept talking to me until others arrived, and they called the ambulance, they called the fire service, they called the police, they did all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some young gentleman came, I don't know where they came from, and it's like, okay, talking. So now the elderly gentleman was outside being a spokesman for me, telling the others what was going on and everything, and it's like, okay, we'll have to get it out. And they tried to get, because after the accident, the car flipped on its right. So I couldn't get off from the driver's side because that's where I was. So they had to get me off from the passenger side. And they tried their very best to get me out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling this morning to thank all those people. And then the paramedics that came for me, they were nice. They got me to the hospital. They waited on me until I was seen by somebody, the nurse, Nesil, the doctor, Dr. Lucas, and I can't remember the other doctor's name. All of them made sure I was comfortable, and they took very good care of me. So I just want everybody to know that we have nice people in Barbados, and they really took care of me from the accident till I was discharged. Everybody was nice. So I'm just calling to say a big thank you to all those guys. I asked them their names, but you know, when you're in that state and that kind of a thing, I couldn't just remember their names. But if they are listening, they know who I was. It happened in the morning, just about 3 minutes past 9 in the morning. Those guys were on their way to work, because immediately when they got me, they said, we have to go and blah, blah, we hope you're better. And I'm telling them this morning that I am doing okay, and I thank all of them for coming to my aid. Those residents on the other side, on the left side, all of them were helpful, and thank you very much.
First of all, I want to say how glad I am that you're okay today and well enough to call us to tell us that story.
Yes.
And I'm glad you're alive and you're well.
Yes.
And it's always good to share these good experiences, because we don't get that very often when it comes to being on brass tacks. It's always a concern. But we also welcome when people commend these entities and their staff for doing a good job. Okay?
Yes, they did a good job. And I'm grateful to all of them, because maybe I'm alive today, this morning, because of them. Nobody left. They all were my assistant. Everybody was willing to help. And we have great people in here. We do have great people in here. They are nice people in here.
Okay. Thank you so much.